am going to go ahead and read our Matthew passage. We're continuing on through the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to be in Matthew 7, 1 through 12, just moving right along through that sermon. And as we prepare to hear God's word this day, let us pray. Gracious God, your word surprises, challenges, upsets, and overturns our way of seeing and thinking. Come and find us today, wherever we are, however we are, in the midst of wherever and whatever we find ourselves, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A reading from Matthew 7, verses 1 through 12. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Thank you very much, guys. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, so clearly, I'm a jumble, so this, I'm going to hope, makes sense. But I do want to go back to why I chose that Proverbs passage and holding it alongside with Matthew, and why I think Proverbs goes along with this section in the Sermon on the Mount. Proverbs is part of what we call the wisdom literature in Old Testament scripture. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job, all of those held together. They aren't books about history. Or history in God's people. They're not law. They're not story. We don't hear anything about covenants or commandments. You don't hear about miracles or exile. Rather, wisdom literature is about lived experience. It's the place in the Hebrew scriptures where you have these ancient voices looking around their world, grounded in their faith, and kind of asking practical questions. It focuses on the daily. It's about the meaning and social significance of things like speech and money and friendship, human interaction, work, land. Job, if you've read it, specifically asked the question of why do bad things happen? So wisdom literature looks at the stuff of daily life. And for Proverbs specifically, it looks within our daily life, the ways we live and work and interact, and says there are real choices at stake with real ethical implications. Proverbs, if you've looked at it, you'll find short, simple sayings. And they share this meaning coming out of this lived experience of people, something they've seen and learned. It invites you to reflect on your own actions, wise actions, foolish actions, the consequences that come with those. You'll find stuff like foolish people will lose their money. People who forgive make friends. Those who hold grudges do not. You'll find opposites. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but those who hate to be rebuked are stupid. It has comparisons. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. You've got act and consequence. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Or whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on the one who starts it rolling. But Proverbs does a little something more than just share these little sayings. The hope is it's painting this picture of balance. Life is this network. Everything is connected. We've heard that already in this Wisdom of Scripture series we've been doing. There are givens, there are choices, there are consequences. And nobody is exempt from the realities of life. And the hope is that you come across these sayings and you're passing on a little wisdom, some knowledge, some advice on how to live life well. Let me pass this on to you so that you may live well, safely, responsibly, happily. It's almost like Proverbs is saying, this is how it is. This is how we do it. So the question for us with these little sayings from Proverbs is this. What is this world that God envisions that Proverbs is lifting up and striving to live into it? How do we listen for this world, seek this world, speak this world into being? If, as Proverbs presupposes, that the world is willed, governed, and sustained by God, what is the world God desires? Now, you'll notice if you read through Proverbs, it's a little overly simplistic, and there's reasons for that, and I'm not going to go into that in my sermon today. But if we have already summed up moving through this emphasis on the wisdom of Scripture, the world God envisions is a world of wholeness, of safety, of peace, of justice, of fruitful and productive living for God's people. As one theologian said, the Creator God has willed that all parts of creation are delicately related to one another, and therefore every decision, every act matters to shape the well-being of the whole. You do find this in Proverbs. We heard that as we read pieces of Proverbs together today. Do not plan harm against your neighbor who lives trustingly beside you was part of our reading. In fact, if you jump to Proverbs 1, read the very beginning, the whole book begins by naming righteousness, justice, and equity as things we need to gain to live life well, things we need to work for. Shalom, peace, harmony, wholeness. This is what God intends. How do we speak this world into existence? So this, to me, is where the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount come in. How do we speak this world into existence? And Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I'm not going to lie, this is one of those passages that I used to really struggle with. It sounded too simplistic. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Just knock and that door will open. Especially that next verse. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Really? I feel like a lot of people have asked, sought, and knocked, and their experience doesn't seem to match. I was reading through Rohr's book on the Sermon on the Mount for this whole series, and he kind of set the passage up in a little bit of a different way, and I'm a little embarrassed that somehow I was never able to receive it this way, to hold it this way. I was coming to the passage with a very consumer-driven idea. I am an American, after all, and as we talked about last week, consumerism is the very way life is presented to us because it keeps the system going. But I was reading this. So I was reading this passage, ask, search, knock, reading that and thinking, okay, all I have to do, ask, search, knock. Got it. I'm going to do that. Now I'm done. Why didn't I get what I want? But in reality, what we are invited into not just with this passage, but within the life of faith, is transformation. And transformation comes about through discernment. And what I think I didn't want to see or acknowledge or really even think about is that this work of asking and searching and knocking is the slow, long, lifelong work of discernment. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. These are not directions on how to get what you want. These are puzzle pieces to a life of faith. And faith contains the elements of time and patience and growth. Jesus' words, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. These are invitations. Invitations to pause, to take some time, to think, to pray, to discern. Invitations to wait and to listen. Invitations into transformation. After all, think about all the other things Jesus has named throughout this sermon. All the things we have lifted since Lent began and we began this series. Jesus is asking some pretty tough stuff from us. Jesus is envisioning a world that looks vastly different from the world in which he spoke, the world we understand and see all around us. Jesus is preaching the very reign of God and saying, it is here among you. Look around. Grasp it. Take hold of it. Live into it. Be a part of it. Jesus is inviting us to be transformed. Live in a transformed way so that we may transform the world around us. And I don't know about you, but I can't do that on my own. I'm pretty sure I won't master it overnight. There isn't a New York Times bestseller out there I can purchase that will give me the secret to figure it all out. No, it's about choosing a life of faith lived in the way of Jesus and choosing daily to ask, to search, to knock. Choosing daily to discern the next best step. Choosing to open myself up to a transformed life. And for true transformation to occur, one doesn't simply change. Transformation happens when something old falls away. As we said earlier in this series, if I'm going to say thy kingdom come, that also means I have to say my kingdom go. The kingdom of God is here, Jesus says. Ask, search, knock. One of my favorite things about Proverbs is the way it begins. So I want to read a piece of the first chapter from Proverbs. Wisdom cries out in the street. In the square, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. As we receive words of Jesus today that invite us to ask, to search, to knock, this is what I hear in the ancient voices of wisdom. This is what I hear them saying to us. The vision that God has for the world is literally breaking in all around us. We catch it quite often. We do see it. We do experience it. We pass it on. But we also miss it. We also refuse to hear it, to listen. We choose to forget the Creator God has willed that all parts of creation are delicately related to one another, and therefore every decision, every act matters to the shape and well-being of the whole. It made me think of Amanda Gorman's poem where she says, "For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it." I feel like the ancient voices in Proverbs are saying there's always wisdom and truth out there if only we are brave enough to seek it. If we allow ourselves to be shaped and molded by the Spirit of God, we will, as Proverbs 2:9 says, we will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. And when it all starts to feel a little too heavy, when you read back through Jesus' sermon and think, how in the world do we live this out? When you feel like you have been asking and searching and knocking, and yet you don't know what the next right step is, I invite you to sit with verse 12. If you've never noticed, Jesus sums up his entire sermon with one verse. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen.